Historical records have surfaced proving Alexander Graham Bell's first telephone call in 1876 was not his assistant, Mr. Watson, but to
the police,
asking him to order Chinese. Ladies and gentlemen, fresh from a crash test at Yucca Proving Grounds, your host, Paul Lavoie.
Don't start drinking, I'm gonna leave. I wake up in the morning, I'm hungry.
So to my surprise, Jim,
yes,
that's a big hit, by the way.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't on the playlist.
Huh.
Blew me away.
I wonder.
So I said, you know what, I gotta play that for the fans on Monday.
Could that be perhaps not politically correct, shall we say?
I don't know, maybe. Check this out.
Yes.
I love that.
That little note there for Romer Beveridge.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? Maybe they sponsored the song. All
yes.
Right, we're getting a little behind. Monday, March 9th, 2026. Yes, it is already March 9th. I'm Paul Lavoie, along with Brother Jim Russell, and we are broadcasting live from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with No Sink. Find City Maytag, 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. We got it. I would say a triple punch today.
Okay.
We've got a doctor, we have a marketing director, and we have a agency director,
yes.
Sean. And Sean's
yes.
got enough energy to do three George Thorogood shows. So let's bring in Dr. Adnan Hassoun, and he is a general surgeon at Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. Dr. Hassoun, welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
And I got the name right, correct?
You actually did. That was very impressive.
Well, don't be impressed by me. Be impressed by my voice coach, Gina Morga. She did a great job.
Yeah. This is probably the best I've had in the last 7-8 years.
Great. You know,
wow.
That really means a lot, by the way, because my last name's Lavoie, and I've seen people just... I've had people call me Lavoris before, so... So, you know, accuracy with names is very, very important to me, but... You are a general surgeon, but you specialize on fundamentals of endoscopic surgery, fundamentals of laparoscopic surgery, and surgical robots. We'll get to those in a moment, but I wanted to talk about your upbringing. This is a weird, this is a strange story, because you're Lebanese-Canadian, correct? And then you went back to Lebanon with your parents. Kind of explain all that, the trip back to the Middle East.
Yeah, so... My parents basically immigrated to Canada during the Civil War in Lebanon. I was born there, maybe by the age of like 4 or 5, you know, everything resolved in Lebanon. So my parents decided that they wanted to be closer to family, closer to culture and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So flew back, spent most of my life there, really did, you know, middle school, high school, undergrad, medical school there. And then after medical school, you know, I wanted to get the best training that I can get to become the best surgeon I could be. And, you know, that always brings coming to the U.S. So made my way to Pittsburgh, you know, struggled, but made it to Pittsburgh eventually. And that's where I got my training.
Jim, in the pregame warm-up, right, I asked
yes.
him, so you're a Steelers fan? He goes, well, you sort of have to be. That's a great answer, by the way.
Yeah,
How did you get to Bullhead City?
So when my wife and I were done with our training, because my wife is also a family doctor in the area now here, we were looking for jobs, obviously, and, you know, Bullhead, for some reason, showed up, and we came and visited, and then we just loved the area. You know, we loved the town. We loved how friendly everyone was, how everyone was willing to go out of the way to help you with the simplest of things, whether it's at a supermarket or whatever. So we just felt at home and figured this would be a good spot for our kids.
And you weren't scared away by the heat.
No. We came in October, so we got bamboozled by that. Yeah. But we've been here since July, so we did get a little bit of that heat. It's okay. It's not a big issue.
Two things I'm curious about. So back in the day, you used to say never, doctors will never make an appointment with you on Wednesday because that's for golf, right? Do you guys right. still do that? And how many hours a week would you say you put in?
I'm personally not a golfer, but I've definitely met a lot of golfers, doctors who just avoid clinic and work as much as possible.
Right.
I mean, mostly it can go anywhere from like 40 to 80, depending on how busy the week is, depending on how busy the hospital gets, really, with inpatient stuff. It's a really hit or miss, but, you know, some weeks are fine and others are pretty busy.
So between 40 hours and 80 hours?
Yeah.
Jim, why weren't we doctors?
Yeah, we must be.
No, I said, why didn't we go to medical school? We could hack it. So, and then you went to a pretty prestigious university in the Middle East, didn't you?
I did. Thankfully, I was able to. But the American University of Beirut, I mean, it's so home to me. But, I mean, I couldn't really imagine a better education for anyone who's interested in medicine than there, really.
Nice. Do you have children?
I do have a 3-year-old and she's 9 months old now.
Oh, gee.
So, yeah. So whatever I make up for in hours here, I just, you know, she's going to be at home.
So hopefully your wife's a pediatrician then, right?
She's a family doc.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the difference between the three fundamentals, and it winds up with surgical robots, which is fascinating. But tell us the difference between endoscopic, laparoscopic, and then kind of wind up with surgical robotics.
Sure. So endoscopic is basically your colonoscopy and the EGD. You know, everyone on Earth needs a colonoscopy at some point in their lives. So this is what endoscopy comes with. Laparoscopy is more to deal with the, like, intra-abdominal issues, whether it's gallbladder, appendix, colon, small intestine, stomach, hernias, whatever it is, you can deal with it in a laparoscopic manner. Basically, instead of doing the old open method, which has, you know, the decent scars and the postoperative pain, laparoscopic has found a way to make all of these a little bit easier on the patient. And then, finally, robot is basically the next step compared to laparoscopy. It's just a nicer tool. I have this robot that I can control. Ergonomically, it helps the doctors with, like, their back pain, with the positioning. And then for the patients, it actually, whenever the doctors are efficient with it, it leads to better outcome, it leads to better post-operative care, and just really routine.
Doctor, physically, how does that work? When you say robotics, we get the image of a robot standing over your shoulder helping with the surgery. What is it? What's involved in it?
So you're almost there. You know, there is a big robot, no head, no nothing that can talk, but there's a big machine with 4 tentacle-like arms. Okay, and there's a separate console on the side where I would sit and I would control these arms. So at the beginning of a surgery, I would make just tiny incisions in the patient's abdomen, and then we insufflate that abdomen with gas so that the instruments can fit, and then I would connect the tentacles to these small incisions, and then I can just control them from my console.
Wow. He just drew a visual for Lost in Space, right? Remember that? Will and Dr. Smith are trapped in a cave. I was actually thinking that, and then you went with that, and I couldn't believe it. You fell right into that groove. So I want to talk about people that they go to the doctor for something, and maybe it's been a while since they've been to the doctor. Hey, I've got this pain in my abdomen, this and that, and they get their gallbladder removed, let's say. But then when they're in the hospital, there's another problem. Say, sleep apnea, right? You can't keep the patient breathing, and obviously then you got to add oxygen tubes and that sort of thing for post-op. Is that common, doctor?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it is. Surgeons usually try their best to do some preoperative workup. You know, we try to get we try to make sure that all the medical problems are evident and are addressed before going to surgery. But sometimes, you know, stuff sneak up on you, and unfortunately as well, people don't always, you know, look after their health until it's a little bit too late. So the sheer stress of surgery on a physical body is alone to trigger really any flare-up of these issues. So it is common that when someone comes in for like an elective procedure to get an issue taken care of, they actually come out of that procedure with a whole list of medications and problems that they now need to address. It's not that the procedure itself caused those problems, it just, it sort of unroofed them for the patient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it must be kind of like if you take your car in for work on it and you get the air conditioner fixed, and the next day the starter doesn't work.
And the air conditioner.
And the air conditioner.
I've had that
works.
Happen. Yeah.
And you need the engine. Oh, yeah.
Right. How do your patients refer to you?
So, usually the family doctors in the area, you know, are the sort of like the first line of defense. They should be catching all, and they do, really. They mm-hmm. do a great job in the area. Thankfully, we have some really good family doctors and PCPs. They usually catch, you know, the initial problem, and then at that point, they will send them my way, and we just do further work up to identify the problem and see what the best course of action is.
So your title as general surgeon, what does that include? General, it's not a specialty, obviously. But what does that cover? That umbrella there.
It is absolutely a specialty. The word general is not really fair.
Yeah, it's a little bit misleading. But general surgeon, you do 5 years of training and specialty after you're done with medical school. So after you finish like your 4 or 7 years of medical school, you need to do 5 to 7 years of surgical training. And at that point, you become a general surgeon. And now for some people, you know, they're not ready to do that. They're not ready to become general surgeons, or they're interested in more of a specialized thing such as breast surgery or, you know, thyroid surgery or whatever. And they take a couple of years of extra training to, you know, hone in their skills on that specific surgery. But as a general surgeon, I basically deal with everything that has to do with the abdomen, the hernia, stomach, colon, gallbladders, anything really that can help the patient with those.
Oh, interesting. It says here there's something that you put first above all else. What is that? What would you like to tell your patients?
I think the robot here at Wormsea is giving us a really good opportunity to address some of the diseases that, you know, would have been a little bit mm-hmm. troublesome. I think if you're having any issues really with hernias and gallbladders and are just afraid from the surgery, they should really come in just to take a look at the work that we're doing here at Wormsea, because they would be surprised by the results we're getting and by how comfortable patients are postoperatively despite having undergone really major surgeries.
How easy is it, doctor, to correct? And again, we're talking to Adnan Hassoun. He is a surgeon at Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. You can text in at 928-727-5566 if you're listening to the show. And, you know, how common now that they have the tube that goes in where the belly button is and you blow up the abdomen in that so you can work in there, how common are those belly button hernias?
They're common, but not everything is attributed to that, you know, belly button port that you put from the surgery. A lot of the people just have that disease, and it just coincided with them getting surgery. Again, it unroofed that problem for them. And then, and sometimes it is one of the complications that I do talk about with my patients. I let them know that, you know, since we are putting holes in your muscles and in your belly, there's always a risk that that is going to develop into a hernia. And if it does, then there's really more surgery to fix that.
So you're weakening the muscle wall, and then it turns into a bulge. I get it. Okay.
Basically, yeah.
Okay. We're going to take a short break. Is there anything else you wanted to tell our listeners before we go to Gina in the next segment?
Well, the only thing I would is that, I mean, I know it's tough and people don't really realize that, but try to stay on top of your health, you know. Don't wait until a problem is really unbearable and troublesome for you to present, for you to seek help, you know. As soon as you notice that something is not feeling right, just address it, whether it's with your PCP, you know, through some friends, you know, emergency department, whatever you need to do to get the help, please go for it as soon as possible. No one should be laying in pain or having to deal with anything by themselves.
So that's primary care physician, by the
way. Ah, very good.
No, we have police on this that are listeners. So you didn't qualify that. All right. Again, we're going to go to break. And thank you so much for taking 11 minutes, 12 minutes out of your day to talk to us, Dr. Hassoun. We really, really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Oh, you bet. All right, I'm going to go into some more Thorogood. And this song is actually written by one of your heroes, Jim.
Oh.
Hank Williams Sr.
Oh, good.
Right, moving on sure. over. Have you heard that, the difference between these two versions?
No.
Wild. All right, you can. We'll still have Gina on the phone, so text in if you have a question. And it looks like we might have one. I'll go over that in the break. Have you ever heard of Bowden Baumkirchner?
No.
He's an 8-year-old boy,
yes.
A double amputee, legs. He had a staph infection, and he lost his legs at the age of 3.
No.
He's throwing out the first pitch for the Diamondbacks on March 30th.
Oh, wow, cool.
We have an interview with him and
oh,
his family.
Oh, very cool.
And he's a model already, by the way. It's the craziest thing. But, yeah, great story. You'll have to listen, folks, on March 30th. That's when we're going to play that interview, and it is the most heartwarming thing that you've ever heard.
Oh, my gosh,
I
bet.
I have Gina on the phone, and we're going to go ahead and take a short break, come back, and we'll talk a little bit more Western Arizona Regional Medical Center business. How's that sound, Jay? All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
I drink alone. Yeah.
You like old granddad, Jim? I'm not a big fan. I had a brother-in-law who's left us a long time ago. He loved old granddad. But anyway, Speak Out, of course, brought to you in part by Western Arizona Regional Medical Center, also by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. By Mojave Electric Cooperative, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Blonzy Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road, and A&B Propane, abpropaneaz.com. Perfect.
Very good.
End it for us, too.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Pretty cool. Gina Morg is on the line, and she is the Director of Marketing at Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. Thank you so much for your sponsorship, staying on with us. We really, really appreciate it, Gina.
No problem at all.
You're still marketing director, right? 2 months ago, I heard you left. What happened?
We were very particular about hiring a new marketing director.
Mm-hmm, as you should
and
be.
We have now, and everyone's going to love her. Her name is Mal, and she started today.
Oh,
so she's
nice.
A new employee orientation, and I'm just filling in for another few days here. I will stay on at Warm Sea because we have a wonderful senior circle program. We have this program where we do health education for seniors, a senior liaison. I act as that for the hospital, and also we have a lot of social interaction, which we know is very important to seniors' health, especially if they live alone. So it's called Senior Circle. Look it up on our website, and we have events every day. And so I'll still be here working that program.
Perfect.
My favorite thing to do. Mm-hmm.
You So she has orientation today and about, I don't know how many videos to watch over the next 3 days, right? You should probably be transparent about that. So, you sent me some figures here, with, you know.
You're the first to see these figures, Paul. You're the first one.
Oh, I am? Really?
Wow.
Did you want to go over these, or is this some?
Well, I have some interesting notes that we have just compiled our community impact report for 2025. Mm. And over the last year, we have touched the lives of 162,000 patients at Western Arizona Regional Medical Center.
Wow.
That's a lot of patient encounters over the hospital and our clinics, which includes Dr. Hassoun, Dr. Jenkins, another one of our general surgeons, and, of course, our primary care. Our cardiac care is another thing that we're super proud of. That one is something that we have. I'm getting to some figures. Hang on just a second.
That's okay, because I remember back in the early 90s doing a video for your cardiac cath lab. That's how in front of the game you guys are with cardiac.
Gee.
That is exactly right. So last year we touched more than 1,000 hearts through heart catheterization in our cath lab. We have two cath labs in our heart center, our Warm Sea Heart Center. That's more than 1,000 catheterizations and 1,500 hearts in all with our heart attacks, with our atrial fibrillation care, pacemaker implantation, our doing testing for patients who are going to surgery or just needing those heart tests. More than 1,500 hearts in the last year. So
okay.
Pretty big number in our heart lab. We have three heart doctors on staff all the time, so that 24-hour care is available for any heart problem.
Wow.
Here I thought she said 1,500 hearts an hour, and I thought, wow, I saw Jim drive that speed one time just to get here. So the taxes paid into the community is quite impressive, actually.
Yes. Yes, we pay a lot of taxes, and we're happy to do that, actually.
It's $10.5 million. That's quite the amount.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We're going to have to go about two more minutes. Is there anything else you want to tell the listeners, Gina? I know you touched on Senior Circle, but there's so much that you do there.
We do lots of sponsorships, lots in our community. You know, we do more than 60 events a year, and there's only 52 weekends. So we're really happy to be involved in anything anybody wants us to. Call me up and let's be involved in your special project.
That's a really good point. I just thought, you know, it's hot. I mean, it's warm right now for this time of year, and all the events that are going on. Warm Sea is right out front when it comes to supplying water for events.
Oh, very good.
How do people get water for their event, Gina?
Call our marketing department. We would love to supply water. It's super important to your health. We don't want anybody being dehydrated. If you have an event and you need some water, call our marketing department. We will help you.
Perfect. Anything else that you wanted to talk about before I let you go?
Don't forget Dr. Hassoun's wife. She's a primary care doctor, Dr. Sino. We have three new primary care physicians. Dr. Sino, who is a family medicine doctor, Dr. Burke, who is an internal medicine doctor, and Dr. Sond, who is also internal medicine with a specialty in geriatrics. Go to warmseadocs.com, warmseadocs.com, and check out how many primary care doctors you can get into right now.
So I was reading over Dr. Hassoun's bio. You'll have to compliment him on his choice of favorite sport being soccer. So I appreciate that.
Yeah,
mine also. We're going to be in heaven here this summer with the World Cup coming up. So,
yes.
Gina Morga, Director of Marketing for Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. We really appreciate you being on the program, and I'll see you next month. I'm trying to think of what date. It's got to be probably the 6th of April. I'm not sure, but anyway.
Okay. Let's talk about that.
Oh, we will. You mean in advance? Is that how you want to do this? Gina, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
On Speak Out. You bet.
It's a pleasure.
All right. Jim and I are going to come back with a very special guest.
Yes.
You ready
yes.
for this one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yep.
It's Sean Buckley from Go Lake Havasu.
We have the pleasure of working with him regularly.
Yep. When I heard that news that he's leaving us, leaving Havasu. We just did a hospital interview, right?
Yeah.
All right. Back with more in a moment. I had never heard this version before. So George Thorogood and the Delaware Destroyers doing 6 Days on the Road by Sawyer Brown. It's actually a pretty good version. So 928-854-5687. The phone line is open. Also, 928-727-5566. That's our text line. All right? Make this talk radio and text radio, not just listen radio. You guys
yes.
can call in. All right. Stay with us. We'll be right back. To Speak Out a little, George Thorogood. I'm still like wondering what the marketing opportunities merch wise could have been for him. You know, he played baseball on a high level, just like you, Sean Buckley.
He was a ball player, wasn't
yeah,
he? Yeah, yeah.
He played in a league in Delaware, the Roberto Clemente League.
Oh yeah.
Second baseman.
Yep.
And it was 1975. I just read this the other day. He was Rookie of the Year.
Is that right?
And chose yeah. music.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Nobody knows that fact. I've never heard that in my life.
Crazy, right?
Amazing. Yes, it is.
But the marketing opportunity missed at merch.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't have baseball jerseys.
Oh,
what
yeah.
in the heck?
Learn from it.
Yeah, it should have said Destroyers on
Absolutely.
It, right?
Absolutely.
That would have been phenomenal.
What a great day.
Speak Out. Brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management, also by The Chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, SamsGuns.com, by Solar Power, by Esme Electric, Dorita's Place, and Legacy Rehab and Care. And don't forget to buy local or, what is it, Jim?
Bye-bye local.
That's right. Buy local or it's bye-bye local. All right. Okay. Sean Buckley's here. Man, are your ears burning? Because you're in like a million conversations in Havasu right now.
You know, it seems like we're a hot topic at the moment. No press is bad press. Is that right?
What? Yeah, just spell your name right.
Exactly.
Exactly. What are you, Madonna? Come on, man. So, I'm reading this and I'm like, no, come on. Sean Buckley is leaving? What?
That's true.
What's happening?
That's true. There's quite a bit happening there, and I don't want to touch on that too much today because really what's facing us on the horizon, Paul, and I think what's important to the community is the workshop we're hosting tomorrow at City Council at 4 p.m. All right, so the question on the table is, how are we structured? How are we funded? And you're going to ask the CEO of Go Lake Havasu. I think that's a question that needs to be asked right now, to be quite honest with you. And here's a good example for you, gentlemen. If either one of you were to step into my role tomorrow, regardless of how much the community loves you and how good you are at this job, there's still going to be some degree of a target on your back.
Sure.
And here's the thing. That's anomalous to this. That's not an opinion, because the way that we are funded, the structure of our funding incorporates a 1% food and beverage component.
Uh-huh.
That is non-discriminate, okay? You, I, Polly, we're all feeding into that every time we go out and have a beverage, have a meal. That's very unique to Lake Havasu's funding structure. I personally would advocate for that to take a look, you know, because it's been there, I think it was enacted 30 years ago, you know, and I think it's just compounded. It's time for a little
you
bit.
You say that's unique in the way Havasu does it compared to other markets?
Absolutely. I think there's one other market in Arizona that has a food and beverage component. I couldn't find any in California. Mm-hmm. I've never worked with one before.
Wow.
Generally, the reason the tourism industry exists is so it doesn't tax the residents. We are getting a little slice of the visitation pie without contributing to it. So our model is very anomalous in and of that way, and by design, that's going to put a little bit extra heat on this office, just because the residents are wondering, you know, what about my contribution? Is it necessary? Where's my ROI? And all the very fair considerations that go into a tax contribution.
Return on investment.
Exactly. But the one thing
you guys
got to consider, and your listeners as well, Paul, is that every time they go to Las Vegas, every time they go to Phoenix, every time they stay overnight in another destination, they are paying into their lodging tax. That's where our residents are taxed. And so, yeah, that's why it's done that way, is to protect the residents. And right now there's a little bit of double dip. And you know what? 30 years ago, maybe it made some sense. Today, I do think that might need a look.
Is there any semblance of a guess as to the percentage of this that is paid by tourists versus residents?
What a great, great question, because my argument is I go out and propone it like, you know, the tourists are splitting that with the residents, okay?
Yeah.
But mathematically, that doesn't work. We have 60-some thousand residents and about 2 million tourists a year, so what's that percentage?
Uh-huh.
Plus, it waters down a little bit further, Jim, because we also share that one point with PED. So there's a split in there. So the numbers that I'm reporting on are basically half and half shared between the residents and the visitors, and it's about $500,000 a year that goes into the lodging and TPT tax collections overall. From there, it does get a little bit more mathematic, but let's just go ahead and argue. $500,000 are coming in from the residents.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've got to justify that spend, making sure that everybody's getting theirs and they're represented accordingly. But, you know, if we're going to have a look at the structural integrity of Go Lake Havasu, I think that is one fair point to consider. And the one thing I'll add to that, you know, the offset would be that's about half of our budget right now. So you have to make up those dollars in the lodging tax, which would hypothetically crank it up to a 5 or 6 point lodging tax.
Wow.
Which still looks like a bargain. Everybody around the state starting right there, you know, we've got destinations in California that are up in the 12, 13, 14% range.
Really?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when the city decreased the spend for Lake Havasu City, Go Lake Havasu. Back when Terrence was still here. You know about this, right?
I have
it used
some
to
details,
be a,
yeah.
I don't know what the amount was. I think it was unlimited, the budget. Mm. And then it was cut down to like, what, 1.75 or 1.5?
1.6 is our slice of the TPT, 1.6 million.
Does it need to be more? Is it badly outdated because of price increases and advertising and such?
There's always an argument for more money.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to turn that
but
down.
Are you coming out of the... You know, in December, do you have money left over?
Okay, we don't. So our office has to spend every dime. We don't get to save that money. You got to understand, we are only accountable for 38% of the gross lodging tax, the gross TPT receipts that are coming into the community. 62% of that goes into the city's general fund designated for tourism projects, et cetera, et cetera. We don't touch any of that, Paul. Our 1.6 has got to be exhausted every single year. We've got to spend every dime.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So... There's a campaign going on for city council right now.
Yeah.
There's everybody has an opinion,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
I've heard so many opinions on why you're leaving or what's connected to your leaving or what have you. But I mean, did you discover something or is this really a family matter? Cause I've heard family matters before, but I don't know. I know Sean, he doesn't look like the type that would give up that easily.
You know how it goes. So again,
am I touching a nerve?
I'm not a nerve by any stretch, but I just can't speak to that today. You know what I mean? Because honestly, that's not in the community.
If I didn't press you, I wouldn't be getting a paycheck next, you know, in 2 weeks.
I love it. Go ahead, put me in the quarter. That's no problem. I think what's more relevant to the community right now is what is Go Lake Havasu designed to do as a destination marketing organization? Have there in fact been demonstrable improvements since my onboarding, and where do we stand within the industry? What are those industry benchmarks that we should be modeled after, and what are those thresholds of performance that we should be either meeting or exceeding? You know, that's really the bottom line. It's a business. It's just like any other business. Let's approach it like a business and find out, you know, where we're winning, where we're losing.
Okay, so I've heard that mantra about 3 times now. Just in this interview, right? We need to reapproach.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
If they do reapproach, if there comes to some agreement that, okay, let's do it, Sean, you know, what Sean suggested.
Sure.
Would you stay?
Oh, boy. Now we're speculating.
I'm not speculating. I mean, that's a real question.
All right. So as it stands, I'm here through the end of April, and the idea was, the exit strategy was not in earnest. It wasn't in spite. You know, I didn't want to leave anybody hanging. I care about what we're doing here.
Yeah, sure.
I'm very proud.
You're passionate
of our progress.
About it.
Absolutely.
Obviously.
And my aim right now is to protect the office, the operation. There's an organization that encompasses the office and the board. Right now, I am, and I'm always responsible for the operation and the people that perform. I want to make sure those people and the performance stays in stride. So I want to do whatever is necessary to ensure the integrity of the operation moving forward. All of that, again, is speculative, but that's really where it stands right now today.
So you've got kind of the sweater vest outdoorsy, you know, Columbia thing going on here right now. It looks like you're from Wyoming.
How about that?
Are you headed back?
No, I honestly, I don't have a landing point right now. You know, the parachute's not in place. There are conversations going, and I like to think that I'm marketable. You know, there might be something out there. But, no, right now, guys, my focus is firmly on Go Lake Havasu, making sure the office stays intact, making sure my people are taken care of moving forward. That really has to be it.
Do you like the name Go Lake Havasu? I've heard people that don't like that name. They would like to see it, you know, Lake Havasu Convention Visitors Authority. Okay, that was what it was before, right? The CBA or CVB.
Yeah.
I'm pretty agnostic, to be honest with you. It's not very common. You don't hear a whole lot of Go Tucson, Go Phoenix, that sort of designation.
Do you hear creative names instead of Bureau?
Visit Lake Havasu. Discover Lake Havasu. These are more common, you know, designations in the tourism marketing space. You know, Go Lake Havasu doesn't really impede us at all. It's just a little bit different. There's a lot of things that we do that are just a little bit different than industry standards. And so that's another mic.
Sounds a little Sporty Spice, right?
It does. Absolutely. Go Lake Havasu. It drives the action. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can lean into that. You know,
not necessarily bad.
Not even kind of. You know, especially when we compliment with our go for it message. You know, I mean, Go Lake Havasu, go for it. You know, I can make some sense out of that. It works.
Are there events that, as an event sponsor, Go Lake Havasu, that you would like to take on or events that you would like to see go? Let's start with the ones that you might want to take on.
Okay, so here's where...
Because I know Ironman's one of them, right?
It is. It's out there, and we're still having that conversation. When we talk about events, this is one of those areas that I don't know that we've improved on, to be quite honest with you. Our event structure is not exactly in line with destination marketing. We are very, very heavily handed in community events that aren't exactly tourist assets, and this has been kind of a struggle. Our marketing is exceptional. I think we've got one of our event planners here that support that statement, but the way that we're structuring is not exactly in line. So when you're asking me, are there events that I'd like to see go? No, I think there's more events that I'd like to see grow. You know, I think the better we make our products, the more marketable we are.
Let's put that in an example then. Destination marketing for Phoenix.
Sure.
What would be an event for that? What would mean destination marketing when you're in Phoenix?
Let me give you a better
example. Spring training?
You know, possibly, but that's Tempe, and then you start getting outside of Phoenix. Yeah. New Orleans is a good one. That seems to be the best example. Mardi Gras. You got to understand, and I come from Visit Albuquerque, so there are some similarities, and we're not talking about 30% of their event budget. We're talking about 30% of their operating budget goes to Mardi Gras. We're talking about 30% of Albuquerque's operating budget that goes to the Balloon Fiesta. I mean, that's essentially why these organizations exist, is to, you know, really prominate and elevate those tourism assets that define the community. You know, everybody worldwide knows of Mardi Gras in New Orleans. Everybody worldwide knows of
the Fiesta. And as they build, so does the tourism attraction.
Exactly right. There's an argument that, you know, right, Jim, you know, you guys are big enough. Desert Storm's big enough. You do not need Go Lake Havasu sponsorship money anymore. I'm challenged with that, and so is the entire industry. He knows we've heard this. I mean, this is just kind of
you should have seen the look on Jim's face if you're a radio listener.
That is not why we exist. Okay, we exist to market and to enhance these types of events that really define our community. And put that argument anywhere else that we spend marketing dollars. I keep going to Google, and I'm like, you guys are too big. You are taking too much of our money for AdWords and SEO. I'm not getting anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, I'm buying into that because they're platforms.
You know, and then you got Jim talking about the fence, right? The geofence.
Yes.
You guys had the biggest numbers of all time.
Yeah.
When you measured it for the street party.
Yes, indeed. We lay claim to being that single function of Desert Storm being the single biggest event ever in Lake Havasu history.
Okay, so I'm going to play mediator. You don't need him, all right?
Yeah, play this. Go ahead and let's argue this. This is interesting.
you don't need him. This is intervention, right?
No? That's perhaps not quite accurate.
I'm kidding, Jim.
All events exist on the lifeblood of sponsorship.
That's true.
As a future representative of yours, I'll take that back, all right?
Yeah, retract it quick.
Yes.
But that's where that funding comes from. We only have so many places to sell to receive compensation for what we can bring. Mm-hmm. Now, perhaps we aren't going to enjoy as much direct benefit in the building of Desert Storm, as we did already with your help with Rockabilly.
Exactly.
We brought about a 29% increase in Rockabilly.
And that stage was amazing.
Yeah.
They looked really, really, really good. Okay, I'm going to get a little, this is kind of the personal transition here, into the personal side. Have you talked to your family about this? Where do they want to go?
Okay, that's funny. So my family, you know, they love it here.
You look like a family guy.
Oh, I'm a very family guy.
There you
go. I'm with my kids every couple of weeks. You know, I mean, I'm dedicated as a father, and they love it when I live out of town. You know, they it gives them
a place
a bit
to
of
go.
A vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. They love it over here. They have absolutely loved visiting Lake Havasu. You know, summer in the lakes. Yeah, this has been a good fit for them.
Okay, yeah. So where to do you think? Where would be your top three destinations?
Okay, if I'm going to assume this role in other destinations,
yes.
Boy, that's speculative. I got to be honest with you. I don't know if I've had that thought. I really don't know if I've been like, okay, you know, if I'm going to go do this elsewhere, what would be those top three? I don't know, because Lake Havasu City is still such a high priority for me now.
Why don't you just go be a baseball scout, man?
Oh, it's just that easy.
I bet you'd be good, though.
Oh, it'd be a lot of fun. Could you imagine that role, just watch baseball all day and take notes? That sounds right up my alley.
No, I could. No way. But, okay, I guess I'll put it this way. I'll rephrase it.
Sure.
What's your dream job?
My dream job. Well, the starting pitcher for the Rockies came and went. You know,
Rockies.
So come on, a wild guy. That was online. My dream job right now. Okay, so what
you could do better.
There's some ideas that I have that are specific to destination marketing. Just kind of working with some of our mechanics and our technology to make it more digestible and approachable to staff. There's a lot of things like our website, for example. Our website really does need a full timer, whether it's contracted or in house, dedicated just to the back end of that platform. You know, I mean, there's so much minutiae in the detail in the CRM and the CSM. Customer resource manager and customer management software.
I saw lights in the rearview mirror. It was the acronym police.
Absolutely.
They were going to kill me.
Thank you. Hit me on all of those.
You bet.
They're two separate parts of the website. There's just a lot of detail that goes into that. And if I'm hiring general staff, they don't really speak that language. There's some technology that it's in play. You know, Jim's knowing this when we get into geofencing and we're working with our agencies. Some of this, it's advanced technology, but it's really relevant. And so, you know, a way to translate that for the everyman, there's some ideas out there.
Okay, so work session tomorrow.
Yeah.
4 p.m.
4 p.m.
It's at the City Council Chambers.
Yes.
And it sounds like you're going to bring full pyro and everything. It's going to be some fireworks or what?
You know, Metallica opted out.
Well, no, I'm not talking about a band. I'm talking about there could be some pretty interesting discussions.
There should be a pretty healthy discussion going on there. Should it be contentious? I just don't know. You know, and that's what I'm in there just to speak to the facts and the progression of the office and really what we're trying to do for the community.
And you could actually walk in there with the, you know, the 5-gallon plastic bag with the goldfish in it and just say, who's coming with me?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Jerry Maguire
moment.
Exactly. Look, man, I got nothing to lose. Who's coming with me?
Coming with me.
Right. Exactly. Man, you're on next month too, right?
I am.
You better be.
You see me. You
all
bet.
Right, perfect.
It's always a pleasure.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Paul.
I look forward
to
tomorrow now.
All right. So do I. We'll see you then.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Back with more in a moment on Speak Out. I'm Paul Lavoie, along with Brother Jim Russell.
Yes.
Telling you to get a haircut and get a real job.
That directed at John?
No, it's directed at me. If I had a real job, I'd starve. I didn't radio, man. Come on. All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us.
I met this chick. She was my number one fan. She took me home to meet her mommy and dad. They took one look at me and said, oh, my God. Get a haircut and get a real job. She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone.
All right, so I'm holding the fate of Jim Russell.
Yes, you are.
In my own hands.
Yeah.
Sonny loves me, so I could do no wrong here. No, you have an announcement that Sonny wanted to get on the air.
Yes, my wife, Sonny, the artist, wanted me to be sure and invite everyone to the Art Guild's Fine Art Show. This weekend, Art at the Lake is at the Aquatic Center, and it is not an arts and crafts event. This is Havasu's Fine Art Show. It is all juried art, meaning you can't just bring something and hang it up. It has to be approved by...
Wait, juried art?
Juried art,
performed,
yes,
by prisoners or what? I'm kidding. No, where is it and when?
It is at the Aquatic Center. It's Saturday and Sunday, 9 to 5 on Saturday, Sunday 10 to 2. And it is a great thing for our community. This is Havasu's only fine art function in the community, and it has been a little light on the building of it, rebuilding of it since COVID. So this is going to be a big one.
Nice.
Art at the Lake this weekend.
Nice. And it is a popular event. It's been going on for a while.
This is the 47th year.
Wow.
Yes.
Right. Hey, you're not going to believe this, but there's no city manager tomorrow.
Oh, we
have a city manager. He's just on the program. Everybody's in a dang budget meeting. So we're going to have District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gould on.
Wow.
He was scheduled for Friday. Ron agreed to come in tomorrow. And that'll be a great show.
Sure. Ron's always interesting.
Then we got the Havasu Area Chamber. I believe Andrea's coming in to talk about the Civics Bee. And we'll have River Cities United Way on Wednesday as well. And then Mike White from Troop Box Convoy on Thursday. All right. We got to go.
All right.
Hannity's next.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.